Do you want to grow as a leader this year? If you do, I want to tell you about a brand new book released today by my friend Jansen Miller. The book is called Now Before Next. The stewardship mindset to help you maximize your resources and intentionally pursue everything God has called you to do. Let me tell you, if you want to engage as a leader, if you want to grow yourself, if you want to focus in and max out on everything that God has given you, go pick this book up today on Amazon. My friends, this is not a paid ad. I'm simply passionate about this book because I've read it. I've already begun to experience shifts in my life, in my leadership, and in my focus because of this gift to us from Jansen Miller. Go pick up Now Before Next today. Welcome to the Leader Growth Podcast. I'm David Skidmore. This podcast is designed to help you overcome challenges and experience transformation in your life and in your leadership. This season is focused on one simple phrase, that is that you would live transformed. And I know in your life, you want to experience transformation. I know that you are passionate for more. I know that you want to build, that you want to grow, that you want to become the kind of leader in the future that people want to follow. I know that you're the kind of person who wants to elevate others. I know that you're the kind of person who wants to increase. If you were not wanting to do those things, if you were not wanting to become a more abundant leader, a more generous leader, a kinder leader, a leader who leaves a legacy of love, you would not be engaged in this podcast right now. But I also know this about you. I know that you experience challenges just like I do, that you have the interruptions that happen in your life, that you get overwhelmed just like everyone else does. And what I want to do is, instead of going on some big leadership lesson today, I actually want to share with you one of the most important lessons of my life. In fact, I'm going to talk about 12 key lessons that I learned from my mom. And I'm excited to share this one because, well, today is my mom's 64th birthday. And unfortunately, I don't have the opportunity to celebrate with her in person anymore. But as I was thinking about her life, I was thinking about how she has influenced my life and how she's influenced a lot of other people's lives along the way. So as much as I would love to celebrate, and it's been a few years, it's been since 2016, since I was last able to make that call, I want to encourage you, if your family's still here, if you got family, whether it's good or whether it's bad, I just want to encourage you, reach out, make the call. If you have the opportunity, because you just never know how long you have. Today, what I want to do is I want to share with you 12 things that my mom taught me about leadership. And the irony of even saying that is that my mom never talked to me about leadership in the sense of, let's sit down and have a talk about leadership. These are simply things that she did in her life. But as I look at these things, I see that they have made a profound impact on other people. They shaped my life. They've shaped a lot of other people's lives. And I believe if you do these things, even if you just pick one or two, three, four, I believe that you're going to find that you're a more compassionate, engaged, focused, diligent, consistent, trust-building leader. So, here we go. Number one, live to your convictions. You know, I believe as a leader, one of the most important things for you to do is to live to your convictions. When there begins to be a gap between your own personal convictions and how you act, you're going to begin to feel your character erode. What you want to do as a leader is you want to live to your convictions. One of my favorite things about my mom is that she simply lived to her convictions. She knew what she was about in life. She wasn't fixated on curating a public image. In fact, when she would look at things like Instagram and Facebook, she just didn't really get it. The reason was those weren't the drivers for her life. She knew what she was about. She was about a life of consistency. She was about a life of discipline. She was a life of generosity, learning. But it wasn't about focusing on herself. It was really about focusing on God, focusing on others. And so I believe when you live to your convictions, one of the great things is that you begin to have a lot more focus. It's almost like having blinders put on a horse. You're just not looking left and right on everything else. Instead, you know who you are, you know what you're about, and you're able to live a highly energized, highly focused life because of that. Number one, live to your convictions. Number two, here's a little phrase that my mom shared with me a few years ago. I believe I was about college when she first said it to me, but she said, consistency begets security. Consistency begets security. What does that mean? It means that consistency gives birth to security. If you want to be a leader who helps other people operate in security, if you want to be a leader who helps other people flourish, if you want to enable their growth, I'd encourage you to embrace consistency. Now, for some of us, this is a challenge because we get really excited about our brand new ideas. Shout out once again to Jansen Miller's book, Now Before Next. I'm telling you, when it comes to consistency, there are ways to be able to build this in and still be able to stay deeply emotional and continue to generate ideas. However, every idea you generate doesn't necessarily need to sidetrack your team. In fact, it shouldn't. When you have rhythms and routines, there are spaces and times where you can consistently give yourself to the creative process. If you're more drawn towards ideas and idea generating, more towards creativity. However, that doesn't have to drive everything you do on the day to day. So if you want to be a leader who creates more security for others, think about how you can be more consistent on the day to day. Think about how you can consistently engage in the same things. I've noticed this happens sometimes is that when a visionary, self-titled visionary, has brand new ideas that they don't act out on, they end up losing trust with their people. Seems like every 3 weeks they come in with a brand new vision. You may have worked for this person. You might be this person. If we're going to be people who are really going to engage others in a way that helps them live stable, consistent, fully focused lives where they're not consistently wrestling with burnout, as leaders, we need to become more consistent because consistency begets security. It allows people's minds to be at ease knowing that every day the plan does not change. Every day, instead, we are focused on the consistent thing. Number two, consistency begets security. Number three, welcome others into your home. You know, growing up, my dad was leading a college ministry, and we had college students from all over the world coming into our home. And one of the things that I still don't understand to this day, because my mom and my dad were raising three small kids at the time, all close in age, I don't know how she always made it work. It seemed like we had people at our house all the time. And yet mom always had food ready. She was always preparing things for others. But it wasn't just that she had, you know, food out and inviting people over. It was that she was purposefully welcoming them. It was like she really wanted people to feel special when they came into our house. Now, that didn't necessarily sound like, now for her, that wasn't drawing a lot of attention to herself. Instead, it was just being deeply interested in others. It was checking in to see how they were doing. So many people over the years, because she had welcomed them into her home, they found that she was a safe person, a safe place that they could consistently go back to talk to about life. So I want to encourage you, welcome others into your home. And some of you might say, I don't even really know how to do that. Nobody's ever modeled that for me. I think that there are some really simple ways that you could begin on that. You don't have to necessarily cook a big meal. You might just invite some people over to have coffee with you one afternoon, like on a Saturday. I would just encourage you, start small. You might, maybe instead of like having a full game night, you might just start with a movie night at your house. There are some great tutorials on how to host people you can get on YouTube. But I think at the end of the day, it's a lost art form today. People don't invite other people to their homes very often. And so if you can do that, it can just create a really lasting impact simply by you choosing to welcome others into your home. Number four is this. Number four is be a giver. You know, in life, you can be a giver, you can be a taker. At the end of the day, we're probably all a little bit of both. But if we want to look back, I believe that each of us wants to look back and say, you know what? People knew that I was a giver. I really wanted to give to others. I wanted to be a blessing to others. I wanted to be someone, maybe it was words that I was giving. I was encouraging them with words. Maybe it was finances. But I believe in our lives, you and I, we want to be givers. We want to be remembered as givers. Now, if we want to be remembered as givers, the focus on this is not going to be ourselves, but it's really going to be by focusing in on others. One of the things that I loved just a few years ago, I guess it was in 2016 now, so a few years back, that was the year that my mom passed. And in that summer, I was at the memorial service, and I had a few people come up to me, and they said that my mom had brought groceries over to them on days when they didn't have anything. Like, they didn't have anything in the checking account anymore. They didn't really know what to do. They didn't know where to go. And she would be grocery shopping for herself, but she would also just pick up not just a couple bags, but she would fill their refrigerator with food. And that's something, as I think back on it, it's just, I mean, wow, what a way of living. To look at others and say, I'm going to prioritize and I'm going to make sure that others are taken care of. My guess is this. Even if you're in a really difficult time right now, even if things are really tight, there's something you can give. And I believe this in life is that those who are givers experience a greater reward in life. And it's not necessarily materialistic, though it might be in some of those ways. But the greater reward is that when you give, you experience greater joy. You just do. And the more that we become givers, the more that becomes something natural to us, the more that we're going to become more joyful people. There's a beautiful little quote that Jesus shares one time. He says, "Give and it will be given to you." And I believe that sometimes the thing that is holding us back from all of our growth is simply, do I want to be a giver or do I want to be a taker? Do I want you to give to me first or am I going to give to you first? Number four, be a giver. Number five, take a walk. Number five, take a walk. My mom loved to walk, sometimes once a day, sometimes twice a day. Who knows, maybe sometimes three times a day. One of the things that I did not enjoy when I was growing up was going on walks with my mom. I just did not enjoy it. To me, I always kind of viewed walking as boring. As time went on, I started to enjoy those walks a little bit more, but I still wasn't really a walker. It was only a few years ago, probably 2015, 2016, that I started walking a lot more. And over the past 8 years, maybe it's just kind of carrying on her legacy. Maybe it's a way that I feel connected to her in my mind. I've started going on walks all the time, sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes even four times a day. I found that one of the great things about walking is you can get out of your head and you can get into your body. If you're processing things, it's a really great way for you to be able to process things in life. If you are really wrestling with a lot of things, instead of tuning out and watching TV, checking out from what's happening, walk, and that gives you an opportunity to think through things. And you know, I believe that walking was one of the places that my mom really connected with God. For her, though, it was just something that she enjoyed doing, one foot in front of the other. By the way, a fascinating book is called Walking. It's by a philosopher named Erling Kagge, Erling Kagge. Fascinating book on the philosophy and what happens in our lives when we simply walk. And this is the first man to ever hike to the North Pole, hike to the South Pole, and to the top of Everest. Fascinating book. I just want to encourage you, take a walk. If you are struggling with your creativity, take a walk. When I get locked up in a book and I'm writing and I can't quite find what's next, I take a walk. I've heard a lot of other authors do that too. In leadership, one of my good friends, when he's running into some challenges, what does he do? He's going to take a walk. When you walk, it simply allows you to freely think. And one of the great things about walking is you get to see new views as you go. And I believe that those new views inspire new thoughts in your life. So number five, take a walk. Number six, ask more questions. I believe that you and I, we could become insanely curious about others this year. One of the great things about my mom is she really loved to ask questions. And it wasn't just because she was, you know, in general curious. She genuinely cared about others. And so over a lifetime, what ended up happening was she would ask you a question. Anybody she was sitting with, she would ask a question and then another question and then another question. And people just had a way of being able to open up in life to her. But the reason was she wasn't interrogating them. She was simply curious. And people can feel that. People can feel when you're really curious, and really curious people are people who genuinely care. I believe that there's a power in our lives to when we take all of our energy and focus from ourselves and we put that focus onto other people. What ends up happening is we're going to ask more questions. Even in the late days, when my mom was in the hospital recovering from brain surgery or other times, you know, hospice nurses, she was always focused on others, asking questions, always curious about others. Want to encourage you as a leader, if you feel like your people aren't engaging with you, if you're not getting the most out of them, I would encourage you to give your most to them. Give your focus to them. Give your interest to them. How do you do that? Spend some time with them. Maybe you combine number five and number six, take a walk with them and ask them a few questions. Be genuinely curious. Become a person who really cares about others. Number seven is this. Number seven is communicate frequently. One of the things that my mom did, she sent her family, primarily her sisters, but she sent the family emails frequently. Each day, she and her sisters would send each other emails. There was just a consistent factor of staying up to date with each other. And I know like a lot of us do that with texting. Whatever your form of communication is, I want to encourage you with the people that you're leading, communicate more frequently. One of the things that can get really dangerous, one of the dangerous moves a leader can make is to live their life in their head, to simply be in their head all the time and not take what's in your mind and communicate it to others, not communicate where the organization is, not communicate what the values are, not communicate what's important, not communicate what we need to be focusing on. Instead, just simply live with it in your head. Imagine it like this. If you as a leader say it once, everybody else is going to be thinking about it all the time, right? No, in fact, that's not how it works. What do we need to do as leaders? We need to communicate frequently. In fact, this year, things are going to get busier. It's going to get noisier. It's going to become more challenging. Communicate until your people tell you that you are over-communicating. You'll get the message. But the problem is, most of them aren't getting the message from us. So as leaders, we need to communicate more frequently. Number eight, learn to laugh at yourself. I believe that this is one of the most important things for us as leaders. And I would just say, if you want to live a good life, learn to laugh at yourself. Have you ever been around someone who just takes themselves so seriously all the time? If you can't laugh at yourself, it's going to be a long life. You're going to be dealing with a lot of frustration. Here's a different thought. What if we take work seriously? What if we take others seriously? But what if we don't have to take ourselves so seriously? One of the things that I loved about my mom is she really had an easygoing way and she learned to laugh at herself. She was okay being in a, I think she just knew she had things in her life that were unique to her. And instead of becoming more and more defensive about that, she learned to laugh at herself. Still love that to this day. Number nine is this, be a reader. My mom spent a lot of time reading. A lot of times I'd see her reading her Bible. Other times she was reading a good fiction book. She also loved to do research. just fascinated by learning, fascinated by growing. And so, you know, sometimes that was in the medicinal field. Sometimes it was just a subject that really interested her. Later on in life, after my siblings and I had graduated, she ended up going back and going back to school and getting a master's degree. I think it's really inspiring to others when we are lifetime learners. And one of the ways that we stay hungry as we go along in life, even if we don't go back and get a master's or anything like that, one of the ways we can consistently grow is simply be a reader. Want to encourage you, take time, make it a discipline, take time to be a reader. Number 10, set the tone. I believe as a leader, it is an imperative that you set the tone. Remember, you are the thermostat, not the thermometer. A lot of people are simply checking the temperature, checking the culture, checking the air, checking what it's like today. What you want to do as a leader is you want to set the tone. Throughout my high school years, as I was heading off, and you know, when I was in elementary and middle school, I was homeschooled. So it was a pretty big jump when I went to high school and I was suddenly around 1,200, 1,300 people in my high school. But my mom would say to me at the kitchen table in the morning, she'd say, "Make a great day." Almost every day. She heard someone say it once and then she said, "I'm going to start saying that each and every day." And what I knew for me was that I had a choice. If today was going to be a good day, it wasn't just going to happen to be a good day. If it was a bad day, it wasn't going to just happen to be. I was going to make it the day that I wanted it to be. And she knew that. I'm not saying that you and I aren't going to have good days and bad days just because life hits us hard sometimes, but I'm saying as a focus, as a way of life, what would happen if you simply said, "I'm going to make it a great day. This is how I'm going to show up." I'm not showing up perfect, but I am showing up hopeful. I am showing up with expectation that things are going to get better. I am showing up believing that all of the things that we're working on, that they matter, that they count. And I'm going to be a leader who is engaged in the lives around me. I'm going to be a leader who elevates others. I'm going to be a leader who elevates prophets. I'm going to be a leader who elevates us on this journey so that we can max out on what we really want to accomplish this year. You're going to set the tone. Number 11, write the note. One of the things that I love about my mom is that she wrote post-it notes. She wrote little notes. She wrote letters. She wrote emails, but she loved to write the note. Just little simple things. I think sometimes we go, "Oh man, this is going to take so long." It doesn't take so long to say, "Good job," put it on a post-it note with a smiley. People go, "Well, that's not going to matter." Oh, believe me, it matters. Your people want to hear from you. They want to know how they're doing. When you leave a note, when you write a note, when you just take a note card, maybe a 3x5 and write down bullet pointed if you want to. "Here are three things I see you doing well recently." You don't got to add in those four things that they could improve on. "Here are three things that you're doing well." Simply encourage others. Taking time to write the note shows people that you value them. When you write the note, it lets people know that you care. And number 12 is this. Number 12, be thankful always. I got this coffee mug I drink from frequently to this day. Always be thankful. That's what it says. Be thankful always. Always be thankful. You know, I know that you have a lot of things going this year. I know that you're probably facing more challenges than you faced in the past. There's a lot of questions as to what's going to happen in the future. AI, on top of that, it's an election year. It can feel like there's so much up in the air. The economy, prices just in the grocery store start increasing. You start looking around, seeing people a little more anxious. Everybody's a little more tight. And I wonder what would happen if we simply chose to express gratitude. What would happen if we embraced thankfulness as a lifestyle? Believe that leaders who are thankful, leaders who are thankful are going to make a lasting impact because they're going to show up with compassion. They're going to show up with hope. They're going to show up with a bit of joy in their life because they're thankful for the opportunity to continue forward. I know that it can be really difficult. I know it can be challenging. I know when you're walking through grief, when you're walking through loss, when you're walking through what can feel like an insurmountable mountain in front of you, that right then it could be a time when you say, I feel like I'm going to give up. Yet I also believe that when you choose to embrace gratitude and you choose to lean in and you choose to keep going and you choose to keep fighting and you choose to rise up, even when you could walk away from all of it, I know that right then that that's where your life shifts. That's where you're experiencing transformation, because gratitude is the thing that's going to unlock the energy to overcome the challenges in your life. And I believe that when you and I embrace gratitude, we're going to see our lives shift. Now, you can see today, walk through 12 things. This isn't necessarily what you would get if you opened up a book, if you enrolled in a university class on leadership. But I believe that these practical things about life, if you apply these in your leadership, you're going to unlock other people's lives. You're going to raise other people up. You're going to elevate others. You're going to elevate profits. You're going to elevate everything that you touch simply by practicing these things. Now, that's a lot of things to practice, so you might just hone in on one. And I wonder today, what would it look like if you simply embraced one of these things? If you took a leader growth step even this week, even today, saying, you know, today I'm going to start to ask a lot more questions, or I feel a little stuck mentally, I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to practice learning. I'm going to be a reader. I've been a little uptight lately, and I think I've been showing other people that they need to be uptight as well. I'm going to laugh at myself today. I'm going to write someone a note. I'm going to practice gratitude. I'm going to be a consistent person in the room. I'm going to live to my convictions. I just wonder what would happen in your life if you began to embrace this. Here's what I believe. There's a lot more inside of you. And as you give yourself more and more towards these small things, you are going to become a more compassionate, more engaged, more focused, more diligent leader who other people love to be around and who other people trust. I want to say thank you for joining me today on the Leader Growth Podcast. We have some really exciting things coming up soon. I've got a full cinema episode with Jansen Miller where we are diving into the book Now Before Next. Excited for you to be able to see that on YouTube today. What does it look like for you to lean in, to overcome challenges and experience transformation in your life and in your leadership? This podcast is my gift to you. If you would share this podcast with someone else, someone that you know it's going to help, that would be your gift to me. If you would rate it, review it, subscribe to it, that's going to let you get the podcast every time that I release a new one. Keep growing, keep building, keep leading. I'll see you next time. The formula. Watch me demonstrate. See, I'm determined and dedicated. Watch what I create. And when resistance is persistent, I go harder in a pain. I just put you up on game so I can watch you elevate. Let's fly. Yeah.